upon my pillow, hold your warm and tender body close to mine. Hear the whisper of the raindrops blowing soft across the window. Make believe you love me one more time, for the good times. I'll get along. You'll find another, and I'll be here if you should find you ever need me. Don't say a word about tomorrow or forever. There'll be time sadness when you leave me. Lay your head upon my pillow. Hold your warm and tender body close to mine. Hear the whisper of the raindrops blowing soft across the window. And make believe you love me one more time, for the good times. For the good times.
For the good times. Who is that for, Eamon? Maybe you can tell us.
For Anstead. I'm sure Anstead's been listening, but David should be gone to bed. You forgot to switch on about.
Oh, sorry, sorry. No, I'm sorry.
That's a bit more luscious.
There you are. I didn't do that on purpose.
I could just hear a little faint echo coming
indeed
out of the studio.
We'll start again. We're talking again to Eamon.
Saying there, it's for Angela and David. I'm sure Angela's still up listening, but David should, by rights, be fast asleep, although he's no school tomorrow. But
he's probably listening in to you.
Back over to your phone call there.
Right, okay, that's it. Okay, what I actually did do is I put up the slider. You see, lots of people don't know. I put up the slider for the telephone instead of putting up your slider, so that's what actually did happen. And on the other end of this line should be Barry O'Hanlon, who broadcast every Wednesday here on Radio Dublin with the social welfare programme. So you're very welcome this morning, Barry.
One of the things I would like to make a point of on this particular thing, since this is a lot of it's to do with what the history of radio is in the past and everything else, you must remember that the program which I actually present, I have the privilege to present, is the longest running program of its type on radio in the whole of the British Isles.
Mm-hmm.
There's a continuity going on for a long time.
Yes.
But this gets me down to a particular point. Local radio or pirate radio, whatever phrase you like to put on it, has been kind of dismissed as being just pop music radio.
Mm-hmm.
But it has its serious aspect, and I'd like to deal with this particular serious aspect just for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Politicians in the past have said that you can't give licenses to everybody or anybody or local things without having them fully controlled or under the influence of RTE or whatever, because of the influence that radio has on society and on the people today. And what I would like to ask Eamon is this: what does he feel, what influence has the build-up of local radio, let's call it by its real name, local radio had in this country on society, and what influence would it have in the future? In other words, are the politicians correct in saying that they're afraid of it because of what it can do? If it's that great and it can do things, what can it do? Can you make out what I'm saying?
I can.
It's a rather complex situation, but can you understand what I'm saying about it?
Yes, well, certainly politicians would be afraid to make changes. They simply don't know what is wanted. The trouble is there's so many different people want different things in radio, and it's very hard to please them all. The people with a lot of money, of course, want to get into radio to put on plenty of ads, play a lot of music, and that's it. Community involvement would be practically nil. Whereas what radio should be about is community involvement. But there again, you've, say, the Labour Party, who would want it the other way around. They'd want non-stop talking with chats with mothers and housewives and Lord knows what not all day long about every little project all over the cities.
Yeah,
nobody would listen.
I understand that, Eamon. I'll take that particular point. Mm. One of the particular things that was done on the social welfare programme a number of years back was the housing point system for Dublin Corporation. Oh, we're talking about Dublin because this is Radio Dublin.
Yeah.
The housing point system. Myself and Brendan Lynch exposed to the people of Dublin how to calculate their points. Whereas up to that, it had been a matter of going on to your local politician and saying, look, I want a corporation house, and he says, I'd look after you, having counted up the number of points you're going to have because of the overcrowding and everything else.
Yeah.
This was just information to the public. Do you think that this independent putting out of information to the public is what they're afraid of? Is it going to destroy their particular little castles that they've built?
No, I don't think they'd consider that. You take your programme, it's done roughly as it should be on radio. It's short, half an hour long, it's interrupted a couple of times with music, and it does get information across, information which the general public haven't got. They don't know how to get it even.
Yeah, well, this is what I'm saying. Is that the important part that maybe local radio has to play in the future?
It has, definitely, yes. It should have that involvement in the future. It should not have just the non-stop music. There's room for all of these things in radio, as well as playing music.
Oh, as well as being entertaining. But it's before you wrap up the entertainment with influence.
Entertainment and information.
You have the other problem as well of where... again, they come back and they say we're afraid of it because maybe somebody can get control of a local radio station and start to put out propaganda for an alien political point of view.
Yes, it has actually happened a couple of times there. A couple of times coming up to elections, certainly, where you have the Sinn Féin group opening up their own stations.
Well, then, okay, finally, you've answered the questions that I've asked you for this. I've got one final question on it. If any of our political masters eventually got round to producing a bill which would allow for the licensing of local radio or community radio or whatever title you'd like to put on it.
Yeah.
How many radio stations do you think this country can actually uphold, or do you feel that possibly you'll have a couple of large regional stations and a lot of local community stations, forgetting about, totally forgetting about the frequency situation, because both you and I know that the frequency situation can be overcome.
It's very simply overcome.
Actually, do you think there should be in existence in this country? Should we be actually like the States, where you've got a town of 50,000 people for radio stations?
Yeah, it simply can't be done here because of... there's so many things. There's the cost of running a station. Nobody in licensed community radio will be prepared to work voluntarily. That's the problem. So you're thinking of in the long term, with licenses coming along, 6 or perhaps 7 major stations around the country in the main centres of population. Dublin, Cork, Galway, Limerick, Dundalk, perhaps Donegal, perhaps down Waterford, Wexford direction. And that will simply be it. There's room for other stations, such as, say, BLB out in Bray. Now, they're a community station. They're concerned with Bray itself alone. But if you were to give a license to a station to operate out in Bray, cover the Bray area, there's no earthly way you could get the income in from advertising locally to pay staff.
Yeah.
If there's some way it can be got over that there's voluntary labour as well as paid labour. I don't know, it's a very difficult situation. You have to think of all sorts of staff laid on when there's a licence comes along. Engineers will be there, technicians, producers, assistant producers, news readers, news staff, news gathering staff. The bill at the end of the week can be enormous. You're thinking of a big station, you're probably thinking of anything from 20 to 40,000 pounds a week in expenses going out.
But does it actually need to go that far? Because, I mean, a lot of other things are run that way. You know, sports and everything else are run on voluntary labour. Is there not the room for a voluntary group who are prepared to put out programmes about one particular topic or looking at one particular aspect of the market and prepared to put their effort in, you know, free or just for their expenses or whatever? I mean, you know, going back to the original days of Radio Dublin,
yeah,
the earlier days of Radio Dublin in the 70s, when it didn't cost that much because the transmitter was so low, it didn't cost even that much in electricity.
It didn't, no.
Is there room for that within a regulated situation rather than kind of condemning them as pirates?
There is certainly
but
room
think
for
it. Community radio or something like that, which may only broadcast on Sunday afternoons, you know.
Yes, there's certainly room for that, for the local station, which is covering just the actual area, say within 3-4 miles of wherever the transmitter is, just a local station, local community station. There's certainly room for that, and there's, if that can't be done, I'm sure there's room for that community to get their point across in local radio, but there again, it has to be very, very limited.
Because this is the whole thing when we're talking about local radio, you know, can it take its place beside the local community magazine or the community newsletter or whatever? But the one final question, the big enchilada, the big cake, the big picture. We've obviously, local radio, as I'd like to call it, has had an influence on society as it is today.
Oh yes, it has.
Do you see in the future that it will actually be allowed to develop that particular influence in society by just producing information and entertainment? Or do you see a backlash, Reagan-type backlash of everything all right-wing, no, close them down, shut them up, or whatever? What do you actually forecast in the future?
Well, the close them down simply won't work. We're a peculiar race, the Irish. We simply wouldn't put up with it, and that's it.
I'm delighted to hear it. Listen, I'm delighted to be connected with the station for so long, and with the program that I'm connected with for so long, I'm going to let it now carry on to somebody else.
Before you go away, Barry O'Hannon, maybe you can tell us very quickly what kind of things you cover on a Wednesday evening in case if people want to get you.
Wednesday evening, what we do is we answer the questions that the listeners send in to us. Now, mostly, in fact, they're not sent to the station, they're sent actually through Brendan Lynch, who happens to be...
He's a councillor in Dublin Corporation.
He's a councillor, community councillor, Brendan Lynch. But they happen to be questions on social welfare problems, housing problems, your rights under the law, your rights under anything. In other words, if you've got a question in connection with Big Brother, and we take Big Brother as being the state or any of its local organs, send the question to us and we will come up with some sort of direction or answer on it. That's what the whole programme is all about.
And it's every Wednesday, 6:30, Radio Dublin.
6:30 to 7:00 on Radio Dublin, the longest running programme of its type on any radio station in the British Isles.
Right.
Yes, with an actual city councillor along that length of time as well, so that
isn't
bad.
It is the longest time that any particular politician has actually devoted himself to one particular aspect of things. Yes.
It certainly must be, because Brendan Lynch
far,
has been with us.
You get them on for 6 months or 3 months coming up to elections and everything else, but we've got a situation with Councillor Lynch where the week after an election, he's on the air.
He's back on again, exactly. Most politicians knock at the door here, of course, coming up to elections, and they work absolute wonders for you. They'll put in new telephones, the things they won't do for you.
They won't be seen for the next 5 years.
But we've actually said at the times where people ask us for a telephone next week, and they said, no, it can't be done. At least we're honest about it.
Yeah, it's far better for a politician to be straight, know what can be done, in what time, and give a reasonably straight answer. That's all the constituent wants, is a straight answer.
To top that off, because I've been, Brendan's been involved in his elections over the period of time he's been in local government. He started off as being taking the 5th out of 5 seats in the constituency. The next time took the 4th, and the last time took the 3rd. And that's purely because of the work he's done, apart from anything else, plus the exposure he has got on Radio Dublin, and we acknowledge it 100%. No problem.
Well, I'll have to give him that. He's probably the only politician who would actually come back after an election, after being elected, and continue on with the programme.
And not only that, he has also made another breakthrough, Raymond, which has only happened on a couple of occasions. If something does happen on a national basis where RTE wants to know him or wants to get a comment out of him, they are quite prepared to get him to comment or to get him to go out to RTE. He has been out on a number of occasions and go on the air.
Yeah, well,
they know he's been on Radio Dublin.
Well, there is a point to that. It should be mentioned on radio. Everyone gets stuck with this business every now and then where RTE attempt to blackmail people into not appearing on pirate radio. They tell them that if you dare go on pirate radio, we won't interview you, we'll blacklist you, we'll do this, that and the other. Whereas they won't. It's just some producer or some of the higher ups there have this idea of keeping politicians and stars. We had a Miss Ireland there at one stage.
Olivia Tracy.
Yeah. Stuck with the same situation.
She was actually sitting outside the door here, Eamon.
Waiting on
me to give her the tape.
Yeah, her interview was taped to go on the air here, and she was told, dare you go on that and we won't interview you.
Yeah.
She was actually told that out in RTE, which was ridiculous.
Well, at the time, actually, going back a couple of years, when there was the confrontation between Brendan Lynch and Ian Paisley in the North, that famous kind of brawl or pump over the couch or whatever.
Yeah, it was covered here.
And Dublin gave the full story, and yet the day before and the day after, the story went out on RTE.
It did,
with interviews with Brendan.
If they're actually pushed to it, RTE, they'll very quickly back down on that, unless they want accusations of blackmail thrown at them.
Yeah, if it's a news story and if it's of interest, they broadcast it.
They will, yeah. It's unfortunate that they do get people worried to the extent that, like Olivia Tracy, waiting up here for her tape of our programme, insisting that it didn't go out, she wouldn't be allowed on RTE. And no matter what we said to convince her otherwise, she still believed that RTE would not take her on.
Yes.
It's a pity.
I mean, apart from that as well, in the 80, between 1980 and 1982, at the time when we had three general elections, we were the only radio station, and I was particularly involved in it, we were the only radio station. We interviewed so many politicians, and they went out on the air. I mean, I have interviewed Gareth Fitzgerald for a tape that's gone out in Radio Dublin. I've interviewed Charlie Hoy on a tape that's gone out in Radio Dublin. Martin O'Donoghue, the present Minister for Justice, Alan Jukes, Michael O'Leary, when he was leader of the Labour Party. Yeah. When it came down to it, they would all give us an interview. They would all talk to us. You remember the situations yourself, Alan.
I do, only too well.
The whole series of programmes I put together.
But what's wrong with the National Network is they will get to people who simply don't know much better. They won't get to many politicians and tell them we won't take them on because there'd be uproar over it.
Yeah.
But they could get to someone like, say, Olivia Tracy and a fair few others, telling them that there's no way they'll handle them.
People with a bit less experience in the media.
Exactly, that's the problem. People shouldn't be scared of things like that. Imagine us coming along to someone and saying, we won't interview you if you don't promise us that you won't go on RTE. it's not on.
If that was the case...
Let's leave it at this point. Radio Dublin lives, Radio Dublin will continue to live and carry on the proud tradition that I am quite proud to be involved with.
We'll do our best anyhow, that's all we can do.
At that stage to the listeners, good night.
Okay, Barry, we'll be listening to you on Wednesday, 6:30.
I'll continue to listen to you tonight, but I'm getting off the phone.
Okay, Barry.
Good night, thank you.
Good night.
But talking about bringing up about people being banned on radio, it's amazing that I'm sitting here now, Eamon, and that I also do occasional broadcasts on RTE.
Which proves
the point, Eamon, very much, that they accept my news reports on Radio 2, while at the same time, I'm broadcasting here on Radio Dublin, which squashes, as you're saying, there's no such ban.
No, I could see a point if you were doing this type of programme on RTE and doing this here as well.
Yes.
They would have a point there in saying it's either a case of one or the other.
Yes.
But where it's a news item, an interview, there's simply nothing wrong in interviews going on as many stations as possible because the people want coverage on whatever the interview is about.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing, you were saying about politicians have come up to the door now. You were saying last year they all...
Oh, at election time they're here like flies. But the few that come back afterwards is very, very few.
Mm-hmm.
Some do, some will keep in touch, all right. But you'd be surprised how few that number is.
Mm-hmm. Prince, I keep on calling you because I know. Why do you
Prince
like
Terry,
to...
Prince Terry, you've forgotten him nearly.
Indeed. No, the reason being is because Roger, because I was queued up tonight to to call you a different name, and you are still broadcasting under the name that you've always broadcasted, Prince Terry. But is it a special reason why you still want to be known as Prince Terry?
Well, for the reason I'm still involved in radio, free radio it is. I do a bit of shortwave radio. Uh-huh. I'll give the station a plug here.
Go ahead.
It's Westside Radio.
And when are you actually broadcasting?
Well, I only broadcast about 3 hours on a Sunday morning. The 49-meter band, 6280. And, of course, I have competition from Radio Dublin, which the shortwave isn't on at the moment.
They're
on
shortly.
6910.
So, Prince Terry, what kind of thing do you put out on a Sunday now? What kind of programmes are...
Well, I have a DX program which goes out at 12 o'clock every Sunday morning, and it's all radio information and frequencies and stations heard and during the week, and FM news and a bit of medium wave news as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there is actually a Anoraks here in Dublin, which cater for anyone that's interested. Anoraks Ireland, I give them a plug here.
Yes.
310 Collins Avenue West, Whitehall in Dublin 9.
Mm-hmm.
If they want any information on free radio,
mm-hmm.
you can drop them a line at that address.
Now, I was asking Eamon Cook earlier, who does he want a request played for? Prince Terry, who would you like a request played for this morning?
Well, I have a piece of paper here in my pocket, if I can manage to retrieve it.
Yes.
There's a few people. I don't know whether they're in bed at this time or not, but you never know.
Well, possibly listening in. Hopefully.
Hopefully. I have a few names. There's about... I have requests here. Dermot Blake and family. Derek Jones, if you're listening. And Mike Anderson there.
Yes.
Which was on a tape there a few minutes ago. There's also Steamroller, if he's listening as well.
Yes.
There's a little bit of a...
That's just me running into a microphone, of course.
Well, let me see what else we have. JT and NT,
uh-huh.
Uncle Ken, of course, and Pierce, and the lads of the job, they might be listening, I don't know, Mick and a few of the lads there.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, the family, Caroline, which was... called after the ship Radio Caroline, Caroline Veronica, which was also christened after Radio Veronica,
uh-huh.
Rosalind, who was in hospital in Temple Street, and Elaine, and of course my wife Anne, Cormac and Fikra, Gary Lewis, who lives not very far away from here, Paul Davison, from Anoraks Ireland, who may be listening, and of course I'm giving a plug to Airwaves magazine, the only free radio magazine here in Ireland,
uh-huh.
and very good morning to them there, and of course a keen DXer in Cornwall who listens to radio quite a lot, Podney Sykes in Cornwall, and that's about it, I think, I'm not sure, so anyone else out there,
right.
I hope.
Okay, but before we play the music, we'll tell the listeners the phone number is 538684, 538684. We're speaking to Eamon Cook and Prince Terry, the man who started Radio Dublin, and of course, Eamon Cook very much involved still in Radio Dublin, still keeping the ship floating. Here's a special record for Prince Terry and for all of those people, and especially for that person still in hospital. Hopefully they'll get better very, very shortly.
Stand to see them.
We couldn't possibly let the occasion go by and not put you on. You're very welcome. Now, we better tell the listeners who you are. Just if they don't already know, of course, we have Mrs. Spooner. And, of course, Eamon Cook was making reference to you there. Now, Eamon Cook, you can explain to the listeners who this lady is. She's been one of the longest listeners on Radio Dublin. Is that right, Eamon Cook?
She is. Mrs. Spooner. She's been with us a long, long time. 18 or 19 years, I'm sure, out of her.
Just 20 years, Eamon.
Just 20. 20 in October, will you be? We've got strange whistles somewhere or another.
Some feedback. Are we getting some feedback?
Yes, some volume is somewhere too high this end. I think there we are. We should be right.
Now, Mrs. Spooner, you're very welcome this morning, but because, as I said, we couldn't possibly let the occasion go by and not have you on.
Well, Pat, it's a pleasure.
Now, you're
very, very kind.
Now, we have the people here who started Radio Dublin.
That's right.
And are still involved in Radio Dublin. Now, you are one of the people who all these people here have been broadcasting to and for and everything. So you've been listening from the very beginning, and you're still very loyal to Radio Dublin.
I am, I'm very, very dedicated. No other station, only Radio Dublin.
So maybe you could tell us now, and then if you want to ask Eamon any questions or Prince Terry any questions, but what was it like in those early days as a listener out there and turning on your radio and tuning to Radio Dublin?
Well, it was a little bit difficulty. We had problems like putting wires in and this and that, but it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
We enjoyed them days.
Well, are the days different now? Are they on Radio Dublin? Is it more music now, or was it more music then, or less music, or what was it like in the early days compared to now?
Oh, the old days, we had very, very old music. Mm-hmm. Which was great meaning in it.
Yes.
Lovely music.
Like the Perry Como that Amy
like my yes, Perry Como, exactly.
Well, don't worry, the next record we lined up is Perry Como, so we have another Perry Como lined up.
We might even play that one, The Good Times, before we finish again, you never know. I'm sure we're allowed to do it twice in the programme.
Yes.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I'm sure we are.
Can't let that pass.
Of course. But I mean, when you tuned into Radio Dublin and a listener like yourself, Mrs. Spooner, why would you continue to listen to Radio Dublin for 19, 20 years and not turn to another radio station?
It's just 20 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I just could not listen to any other station. Mm-hmm. I get no pleasure out of any other station.
Mm-hmm.
I am as happy. When it's never off, tell you the truth.
Yes.
And you find great comfort in it.
Yes.
I can't explain the meaning of it.
Mm-hmm.
Even at the moment now, I'm not well.
Yes.
I'm lying up in the bed there. And I'm taking in everything, bringing back all the old memories. I was listening to Eamon hiding the
equipment.
The equipment,
yes,
in the back garden.
I remember that part.
You remember that very well.
It's a case of thinking of everything on the spot.
The knees of his pants was all full of clay.
Yes.
I remember that part.
You remember that. But you can look back at it now and smile about it. But I'd say it was pretty hectic at the time, was it?
It was.
But what other special memories have you got now of those early days?
Well, it has changed. It's changed a lot. There's a few DJs that are coming back, which I'm very, very happy to know and hear.
Yes. Yes.
That I enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
They went to Nova, went to different stations. I won't mention them now over the air.
Yes.
I'm very happy.
Mm-hmm. And I think you also got a trophy. Did you get a
I got a beautiful
now,
trophy.
Now, you better tell the listeners the trophy you got.
For being the most dedicated and the longest listener. And also, I have a little trophy from Eamon's son.
Mm-hmm.
My little young fella, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you'd like to talk now directly to Eamon instead of talking to me now, Mrs. Spooner.
All right, Pat.
I wouldn't know where to start. Pat is the one really to keep shows going. I'm all right on her. I used to be.
I didn't want to take the
bad news there
because it's Eamon Cook's night, and of course it's Prince Terry, and it's the people who made Radio Dublin, because these people, Eamon Cook of course, and Prince Terry, and all, and of course Uncle Ken and Mark T and all those people. As I said to Prince Terry this evening, we wouldn't be here.
There'd be no Pat
Jennings, there'd be no Brian Page, there'd be nobody.
There'd be nobody.
Only because of Eamon Cook.
There would. Somebody would.
Does the captain remember Jim Mitchell?
Oh, very well. Only too well.
Yes, I was speaking to him there 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
A man who has changed a bit since he went into high power in politics, I'm afraid.
An awful lot.
A man who often dropped in here into the station, especially when we were in Sarsfield Road. He was only a TD then, very, very popular in Inchicore.
Yes.
But he did work. I'm sure he still does work for his constituents, but his outlook on radio has certainly changed. It's a pity.
Do you feel that he went too far the other way?
He did. Yeah. He was very much for Radio Dublin.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
Mm. Which is a pity.
Oh, yes.
Which is a trouble.
He should never have done that.
Yes.
And I heard Eamon talking about Jack the John's house.
Yes, his old house there. It's
that
a terrible
was a lovely
pity.
House.
It was a beautiful house. It's terrible to see things like
house.
That going.
We lived nearly facing that house.
It wasn't very big. It was tall, and it looked terribly nice. You could see
yes,
it from a long way away.
It was terrible. Higgins supposed to be buying something of it.
But when Radio Dublin were broadcasting on a Sunday in the beginning, as Eamon was talking about and Prince Terry were talking about, you'd know what time it was coming on, Mrs. Spooner, and you'd just tune in at that time.
All right, have that on immediately.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what kind of a radio I'd have, I'd get it.
Mm-hmm. And you'd make sure that you're tuned in.
Oh, definitely.
Now,
we were always late, of course. We usually went on 1, half 1, maybe 2 o'clock,
yes,
between everything.
We always knew we could come on anyway.
Yeah.
We get something out of it.
Now, we were talking to Eamon and, of course, Prince Terry about the raids earlier, but would you know yourself as a listener, Mrs. Spooner, when the raids would be happening, or would you say, oh, that must be another raid, the record has stopped, and must be another raid going on?
Yes. It wouldn't be stopped now. About 2 hours, we'd be back again.
Yes. And you would be hoping that it would come back very soon.
Oh, yes.
Would you leave the radio on that?
I'd leave it on.
Even there was no sound and then wait for it to come on. You wouldn't turn on any other radio station?
Oh, no, Pat.
Yes.
I was waiting for the guards to come to me.
Yes. Really?
Which they never came to me.
Yes. They didn't.
No.
But in regard, now, Eamon, is there anything that you want to say to Mrs. Spooner? Because, I mean, she's typical of some of the listeners who've been listening for many years, is she?
Of loyal listeners, yes. But many listeners do change over the years. And, of course, the station here has changed. It has been just young people's station more than anything for a long, long time, playing mainly pop music.
Yes.
Whereas tastes have changed in radio. Now it's a mixture of oldies, all sorts of things, but the non-stop charts have fairly well stopped.
Yes.
It is nice, really, to have listeners staying with us over the years.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mrs. Spooner, is there anybody out there that you want me to play or want us to play a request for this morning?
Well, I'd like to play something nice. If Angela's awake at the moment.
Well, she usually listens to Pat Jennings.
I wasn't able to.
She's
Angela,
the only one who does.
Angela, if you're awake, ring me tomorrow, please.
Mm-hmm. Well, will you stay on the line, because we have a very special record lined up for you.
Is that right?
We have a very special record lined up for you. And it's called Only the Strong Survive.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And we'll dedicate it to you and to everybody that you want. If there's anybody else you want mentioned?
I like the band.
Yes.
There's some balloon going up in the air, is that right?
Pardon?
There's something going up in the air.
Yes.
And the band has put on Mark Grace to go up. He's afraid, he said.
Oh, yes. This is this parachute
big,
jump.
A strong man like him.
Oh, a parachute jump, is it?
Yes, it's a parachute jump, actually.
A
in
parachute
aid of,
jump.
Yeah, it's in aid of the Rape Crisis Centre here in
that's
the city.
Right,
they're trying to get
right.
some money in. And
should I miss out on nothing?
No, there you are. Yeah, well, I don't blame being afraid. It's to jump from an aeroplane at 2,000 feet and hope you arrive safely down on ground. There's some people about, sponsoring with £5 if he jumps and another £5 if he jumps out of the parachute. But the £5 apparently is enough for 50 pence if you want to sponsor him for it.
Which is very good.
Yeah, it's in aid of a good cause. So.
I was definitely sponsoring the band.
Yes.
But he's not doing it.
Mike Byrne, he's a bit on the heavy side for jumping out of aeroplanes, perhaps.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. He is a bit heavy.
Which is a dangerous thing to do, Eamon, isn't it?
Well, you need to know what you're about. It's frightening the first time you jump out of an aeroplane, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're terrified for the first 10 seconds or so. After that, it's a strange sort of feeling.
Have you done that yourself, Eamon?
Twice I've done it. First time, I think I nearly passed out on the way down.
Really?
After that, it's nice to do, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But you do hear reports of parachutes not opening and all that, but that's one out of perhaps about 50,000 jumps that happens to. You have a much greater chance of being killed walking across the road.
And of course, if the one that you're, the ripcord that you're supposed to pull, if that doesn't pull, you have a second chance, haven't you?
If you're just jumping and you don't know anything about it, you don't have to pull any cords. It's actually clipped inside the plane as you go out the door, or as you're pushed out the door. You don't jump, you're too much afraid, you're pushed out. It'll automatically pull from the plane itself. You're actually tied to the plane and it pulls down.
So it's pretty scary, I'd say.
It
no,
is.
Pat, I saw it being done up in Tala years back.
Yes. But you wouldn't do it?
I'd chance it myself.
Would you do it yourself?
I would, yes.
Oh, we'll all sponsor.
Would you sponsor me?
Oh, Eamon Cook, we'll all sponsor.
Sure. It's not that... only difficult part to get used to is coming down to the ground.
Yes.
You think you just
part.
Sail down and float on to the ground. You don't. It's like hitting the ground at, 15 or 20 miles an hour. It's not very fast, but unless you're prepared for it...
Mm-hmm. You could break a leg, whatever, even.
People do,
could.
Yeah. You have to know what you're about, and it's normally explained to you beforehand exactly what you're
because
against.
You're coming down at it.
If you're coming down on soft grass, there's no problem at all.
Mrs.
You are well geared up for it now.
Of course.
I come down head first.
Indeed. We're going to play that... Sorry?
You wouldn't see where you are going.
Indeed. Bring your torchlight with you.
Exactly.
We're going to play that special record for you now, and Angela as well.
Thank
Only
you.
The strong survive. In fact, Eamon Cook, now I must say that I used to listen... In my home in Terranure.
Yes.
And I used to listen to this, and it also brings back special memories for me. A number of years ago, I was having some difficulties, and I used to listen to this, Eamon Cook, around 12 o'clock at night. Is that right?
Probably on a Sunday night.
That's right, and you
down.
Used to bring this record on, and then you would have another record. And
we used to have a lovely set of records there. They went on for 20 or 25 minutes as we closed down. Then
they were lovely
National
records.
Anthem.
Yes.
They were, yeah. I'm sure I still have them on tape.
It was a nice ending to the broadcasting.
Yeah, they'd actually put you to sleep. That was the general idea.
So what we'll do is we'll dedicate it to you, Eamon, and to everybody who's been involved in Radio Dublin, and of course, a special listener, Mrs. Spooner out there, and for Angela as well. Okay?
And thank you very, very much. And I wish you every success.
There you are, Eamon.
Thanks very much, Mrs. Spooner.
Okay, here we go. Only the strong survive, and still surviving. Radio Dublin.
Thank you very, very much.
It's there somewhere, I'm sure. Somebody said it was... Somebody said it was cured, but
it should have been
cured.
It should have been
cured. Should have been, yes.
Tony it might O'Reilly, be in 1986. It might be in, we might be in 1986, but it doesn't seem to be coming on. Hold on. Somebody was secured. Anyway. There you are, live radio. No, I'll tell you what we'll do, Mrs. Spooner. We'll line it up, don't worry. We'll have Only the Strong Survive, but in the meantime, we'll have Perry Como, special for you.
That's lovely.
when I'm alone at night and there's no one to comfort me, I think of you. And suddenly my pillow is your face and your arms. And when the winter wind comes chasing after me, I think of you. And it's as though I crawl beneath the blanket, soft and warm. How did I get from dark to daylight before you happened to pass by? How did I find my way through life before you brightened up my sky? Was there a sky at all until you painted it for me?